Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. We're back from a nice long weekend.
Hello.
Today is Monday, November 27th.
It is.
And we're actually going to start December by the end of this week. So welcome back, everybody. We were here on Friday, actually,
if you were
kind enough to listen. We had an awesome show.
We were here. People were out. We were here.
Yeah.
I loved it. My sister was here.
Your sister was here.
We had Little Wolf as a guest.
We had an awesome
guest.
Did
anyone give you any feedback about her besides yourself?
No, not really.
I mean, she was a good guest. Aren't you impressed by the Wolf Pack?
Listen, I'm very impressed. I liked your posts. And with your family and stuff, you guys are really a cool family.
Thank you. Then
I went, so through links, I got to your dad's page, mm-hmm. his
did
public
you like
page,
his,
whatever.
Did you like his political page?
I didn't know if I should because, I don't know how he feels about me, you know, because I don't know. He doesn't know me.
Well, you know what?
Should I still follow?
Of course.
Okay,
I think you know what? You and him would get along very well. You would share a lot of the same But
he's smart. I mean, and that's
he's a
what
very
I
very smart guy.
Yeah, and I like smart people.
You know, it's so funny because my boyfriend met my family this weekend or whatever.
Congratulations!
Yeah. Thank you.
How did that go?
It went well, but it was my dad just is like a big goofball. You know, he's a politician, but he's just like. Always joking, like just pulling, like making sure people always are on their feet or, you know, like always just, you know, just trying
making
to catch
remarks me. And
just,
stuff.
Oh my God, he's ridiculous. Really? Oh and like, God. I was like, you know, I can't believe that, you know, he, like someone like him has a job like what he does. And Ben made a point. He's like, you know, there's someone around the world that's like, you know, I can't believe this is my dad, you know, the leader of ISIS. He's such a big goofball. You know what I mean? Someone like, I was like, that's so true, you know, like.
I know.
Someone's got to be, you know.
Yeah.
Or probably like Trump, too. I mean, I'm sure he's a fucking dickhead in real life as much as he is in his professional life. But I'm sure he loosens up around his kids people probably know a different side to him.
Right,
you know?
Right. That's true
I can
of
only
all
imagine.
Famous people, probably, you know. Ugh. People in the public eye and everything. But no, I mean, what I did notice is your dad posts a lot of pictures of the family.
Yeah.
And that's very cool. You know, mm-hmm. You guys really look good together.
Thank you. You
look like a together family, you know. And
And
you're very fortunate mm-hmm. in that way. Not many families are like that.
I know.
You know?
We're very lucky.
Like your daughter and your sister.
Yes.
Your sister and your dad, obviously they get together. They're close in their career and stuff. I mean, do they actually work together?
My sister and my dad?
Yeah.
They work in the same building and they work one floor apart from each other.
Right. But do they ever have to sit together and
no.
do something? No.
It's a conflict
of
interest.
So they can't even communicate?
I don't think they're supposed to.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I don't think they can communicate about certain cases. I don't think she can do that really with anyone. Or I'm not really sure what the law is, so I don't really want to tell you false information. But I know that I'm sure she can ask him. He was also her professor, so in law school.
Really?
Yeah. So, isn't it crazy? It's literally
crazy.
Out of a movie.
I mean, your family's so connected.
It is a law and order. You know, it's just like my life. You know, I don't know. So yeah. So So basically, I think she can ask him, you know, things just that are whatever. But I'm sure there's conflict somewhere that she's
so they
not allowed,
have,
and they abide by it.
Yeah. So they each has his, you know, her own career.
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I'm very, very impressed. Mm-hmm. Very. And your sister is smart as well, like the rest of your family. You know. And I mean, I don't see you any less smart than they are, you know, just because you're not in law.
Smart.
Just because you're not in law.
No,
it doesn't mean
I
anything.
I think that makes me smarter.
probably.
See, that's the thing. The joke's on them, right?
Exactly.
No, no, no.
Depends. It's all a question of perspective.
To be a lawyer, it's hard work to even get to go to even go through the process. Right, it's just like it's not for everyone. That's why law school weeds out. You know, you if you're a lawyer, you are a lawyer. You have that mindset. You can do that. And it's just a hard life. But if that's what you're passionate about, you know, then good, but it's going to be rewarding. I'm doing the same thing, just, you know, my journey is a long journey too.
That's true.
You know,
and it is your journey. Remember mm-hmm. that. It's your journey. Yeah. You don't live for other people.
Right.
And that's that. So in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by a special guest who Rachel brought in. And just a couple of things. Today's Cyber Monday, for those who don't know, and that's a day where you can get a lot of great deals online. I'm sure you can still find a lot of stuff in.
Did you check
retail.
Your inbox this morning? My God, I was like, I'm so popular. People want to book me, and I'm like, nope, just Bed Bath and Beyond. Reaching out again.
Well, yeah, I get my share of spam all the time.
Oh
so
my
I don't
God,
even know if
I keep. I swear, I keep unsubscribing from the same people. I'm like, this is abuse. If I tell someone I don't want to talk to them, they keep coming back.
So you unsubscribe and it doesn't stop.
Sometimes it takes it. Like there was this one. I don't even know how I got put on. I'm like, I don't even own a pet.
Right.
Why am I on this pet list?
Right.
For this email newsletter.
I'm glad you brought up a pet, because I'm glad you brought up the subject of a pet.
Yeah.
Because I've been thinking of a dog for my parents, and then I'm thinking for a dog for me.
Yeah.
You know, because I never considered one. I had, the only time I ever lived with a dog was when my kids were little and we had a chihuahua.
Okay, wait. Have you ever considered cats? I know this is controversial.
No, I...
Have you ever had a cat?
My kids have, yes.
Okay, so I grew up with dogs. I love dogs. I'm an animal person. I love pretty much all animals. If they're cuddly and soft, I'm like obsessed with you. People too, cuddly and soft. I'm like, I love
right,
you.
Yeah, you love that furry.
Yeah, just chunky anything, you know, it's better. But yeah, so my boyfriend has two cats, and my sister just got a cat, and like, I've just grown really attached to these cats. Like, if you get a good one, they're amazing, and they're more. I mean, here's
more,
the thing.
More
the amount of
no.
Here's the thing. Dogs are for people who you can bring them here. As long as you can bring a dog here, just don't leave them alone.
But why would I want to bring him here? But you see, no, that's the thing. And if you're talking about how often I'm going to be at home, my life
schedule. Your
parents' schedule,
dog or cat is great.
Right,
because
right.
they're home all the time.
Exactly. No, but listen with me. No, forget about the cat, because I'm not even considering a cat. No way, no how. Thank you very much.
I used
if
to be
I
the
get
same
one,
way. I was
I get
like,
a dog.
Fuck cats. They're stupid.
No, they're not
and
stupid.
Then I met,
that's
like,
not
cats
what I'm saying. It's just if I had to choose between a dog and a cat, I would choose a dog. Yeah. That's all. I mean, I connect to them more, and they connect to me. So,
but if you got a little dog, you could bring it to the studio.
But I don't want to. I don't like when people bring dogs to buildings, you know? I mean, I love dogs. That's what I'm saying. But some dog owners, I'm not okay with.
I'm going to bring it to the studio, and it's going to be a mascot.
You can't. It's a business building.
I met a beautiful
dog. It's an office building.
Yesterday, it was a French bulldog, but it was the gray one, the gray colored ones that are just like a beautiful, they're like
right,
blue
right,
French.
Right,
oh,
right.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
You would want to bring that dog everywhere because it's like almost like a fancy handbag.
No,
those
I
dogs
understand.
Are thousands of dollars.
I understand that. No, I know.
And they're
know.
So cute.
But we'll go back to that because it seems like our guest would want to talk, contribute something. But I just wanted to go over a couple other things.
Yes, let's
before
do
we bring him in. They announced the happiest city in the country. Did you see that?
They what do it every
think?
Year.
Yeah, but what do you think it would be? Hold on. The guest wants to pitch
wait,
in.
Wait,
what?
Wait.
Portland, Oregon.
I was going to say something in the Pacific Northwest, like maybe Seattle.
No.
Or New Mexico?
No. Close. Close.
Arizona?
Close. Close. Our guest, Denver? Our mystery guest.
I'm from Denver, so. You know,
you're very close.
We're pretty happy and high.
You're close.
Boulder.
Boulder. There you go.
Yeah.
Boulder it is. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Rachel, who do we have in the studio today?
Our guest today is my friend Barry. He doesn't have a last name because he's like Madonna.
Oh, okay.
You can
Barry
you can
Barry.
Find him. You can find him on Instagram at Weed Writer to tell you a little bit initially off what he does and just a tiny bit because it's very small. But he is my. It's weird because Barry came. He's you just have people that just come into your lives and it's like. I feel like you've been here my whole life.
Really?
Like you've infiltrated my life, and now you're just here, and I can't get
trust
rid of
in
you.
Your dreams,
my dreams and my nightmares.
Yeah,
no. And now you've infiltrated my whole life, and now I can't get rid of him. So he's here to stay. No, it's cool. Barry knows literally everyone in my life. He knows my sister. He knows my best friends. But that's what the cannabis industry really does, is it just brings
people together.
Everyone from your life together somehow.
Yeah. It unites everybody, right?
Yeah, it really does. But I'm really... I'm still finding out exactly all the things Barry does and has done.
Right.
But I know that I first came across him on Instagram, like when I first started my account, and I followed him for forever because he was making memes. He was always really funny, but he didn't even notice me or pay attention to me. And it took my best friend in Florida meeting him out in Las Vegas in the cannabis industry to be like, you need to meet Weed Rider Barry. And I was like, I followed him a long time ago. It's, you know, whatever. So short story long, you're a content creator, you're a connector, you're a producer, of you're a writer. I mean, he's kind of a man who smokes many weeds and wears many hats. You know, wears many hats and smokes
many hats.
Thank you for that introduction.
Yeah,
right.
It's probably the nicest thing.
It's good. You know, you can cut that and just like put that in your
testimonial or something.
Exactly.
Right. So you dedicate a lot of stuff to this. You're an editor in Keith.
Yes.
Which is, I love that. Yeah. I love that.
just like I make
copyright.
Just like I make dope original memes and content.
Right, right.
You got to get hacky there.
So I used to be a sports writer, and then, you know, then I got high or whatever, as you could say. No, sports writing is a very saturated field. This was like 6 years ago, and I was doing it for Bloomberg News, all over, bouncing around the internet, doing my thing. And, you know, I was like, weed sounds pretty cool. I've been selling it for a while. I've been smoking it for a while. And my friend had a dispensary in California, and I just kind of picked up my life and said, sports writing is oversaturated. Let me be a big fish in a smaller pond, which at the time, no one was creating cannabis content. Like, it didn't really exist 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
And you moved from Denver?
No, I moved from New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Garden State, what's good?
Uh-huh. Okay.
And, you know, I didn't want to go to jail, you know, and all that stuff. So I was like, let me go to California, greener pastures, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, yes.
And I went to work at my friend's dispensary in Santa Ana 6.5 years ago. And I got out here, and the dispensary's not doing the best. And, you know, it's a little weird. And I'm, like, freaking out. I need a job. So, as all things in life, you know, Craigslist. I hit Craigslist hard, and lo and behold, I found a job blogging about weed for a company called weedmaps.com.
Which is a big company.
Which is a big company
now. You might have
now,
heard of it. If you smoke weed,
everybody's heard of weed.
6.5 years ago, I had no idea what Weed Maps was, and it was still on the come up. The logo was different. Very ghetto. Google it. worked on that rebrand. Shout out to Justin.
Nice.
So, yeah, I wore a lot of different hats, as Wolfie said, because I was their first hire in content. They didn't have a marketing department. They didn't have social media. Social media barely existed 6.5 years ago. Instagram was like just kind of starting.
Yeah. Starting.
So I started their Instagram, their Facebook. I ran the site marijuana.com that they own, their content, started doing videos, PR, marketing, making friends, making enemies, pissing people off, pissing people on, you know, everything.
Not pissing on people. That's the side note.
Yeah, not
no
like
R. Kelly
literal
stuff.
Just kind of was jiving there. And
just so,
you know, I got my feet wet in the industry and, you know, moved to Colorado, and the rest is a sordid amount of history and clients coming and going and stories being told and, you know, blogs being written. Probably 3,000 to 4,000 blogs about weed I've written.
Wow. So you live in Colorado now?
I live in Denver, but I have a place in Los Angeles as well.
I see. So you live in both places, or do you just visit here occasionally?
I'm out here like once a month, and increasingly more and more as legalization is happening.
So you're finding opportunities here in legalization.
I have a couple companies out here that I'm talking to. So.
Very nice, man. Because that's the thing, is that you had to get into this early, you know. A lot of people are like, oh, you know, how do I get into... And I know there's other things. You don't have to have the dispensary to be in the industry,
right,
in the field.
No,
but at the same time,
exactly.
It's like,
on that end, well, here's the thing. If you have money, you can do anything.
Right.
But
well,
if
millions.
Well, that, I'm, yeah, well, I'm saying if you have, millions, if you right? have yes. this, a certain, that's what I'm saying. With money, anything can happen. But there's also the, it's the culture and the community that's there. It's whether or not they'll embrace you, mm. which you can't survive without the culture and the community and the support from that.
Right.
So there's one thing. But if you have money, yeah, you can pretty much make anything happen. Right. The other thing is like, until, you know, government steps in, it's been like a wild, wild west where anyone can come in and be a cannabis blank, whatever that means, you know, especially with a certain amount of money. However, now that legalization is happening and corporations are starting to get more involved in the government, it's making it kind of, you know, more saturated. And it's really the people who've been there from the beginning who are going to sustain. The rest yeah. are just going to get, no pun intended, weeded out.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to go back to their jobs or join forces with a bigger company, you know?
Yeah, true.
Well, there's suits in the industry now. I mean, uh-huh. back in the day, there were kind of suits, but mostly it was pretty much, you know, there's guys getting their balls chopped off.
You go to MJ BizCon, BizCon, and that's what the future of weed's going to look like. Like right. some business conference, you know, with a bunch of white dudes who, when they're not there, are at the golf course.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's no longer the Wild West.
It's
you
not.
Know?
There was
but
no.
it's still, but it, I, it's still edgy, and it's still, the people who operate are still, you know, I don't want to say stoners, but they're still about that life.
Right.
You know, the people right. that you go into meetings with, and that the ones that are managing inventory and prices and doing things that you have to know something about weed with, they're not Wall Street suits. Those guys are investing.
I mean,
and
but I hope those guys stick around.
Right,
because
exactly.
that's what I'm saying. Like, that's how every industry started. Like, I imagine that's how, like, the alcohol industry started, where the farmers and the real, you know, people who were down there, like, in, you know, whatever they were breeding this bar or whatever it is to make beer. I don't drink beer, so whatever. Yeah. But I think that's, and then, like, corporate, you know, the suits came along. Mm-hmm. We're like, here, we want to buy this from you, or, you know, and like, that's what every industry has become.
Yeah.
So, like, that's my fear is, like, I hope that, you know, I hope it doesn't have this big corporate takeover, but, like,
well, it's happening. So.
I know. And that's the thing. I'm just, I'm so bummed because it's just not going to be, like, I walk into a dispensary now, they open up a big jar of weed, and, like, I just have that where I'm like, I take that giant whiff, right. and it's just, like, overwhelming. Like, this is what I want. I need this. That's my medicine. And no longer are we going to be able to do that. And I hate what's happening.
I mean,
okay, how did you vote on that thing? Did you vote yes or no?
I did vote yes, only because I was worried with the administration coming in that it would make it easier for Jeff Sessions to go after you know, if we didn't have the government support in place, like
right.
if it, so that was my selfish concern, was like right. whatever. But at the same time, we didn't know all the shit that they were going to set in place. We just knew that we wanted government to come in and regulate it and to put taxes. But now they come out with all of these.
But that's what happens when government jumps in.
Of course. Here was my hope was. Yeah. You know, we have people in the community who have been here, who have been studying and researching and seeing what other states have done and learning from their mistakes to kind of implement, you know, whatever, hopefully revisions to whatever to make it, because it's not going to be perfect.
Go ahead.
And this is undoing, you know, however many years upon year, 30 years, it's more than 30 years of people who have been in this industry without regulation. So I don't know. I just think.
Yeah, I mean, no one really knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, Colorado is still a work in progress. You know,
so is Nevada.
4 years after,
yeah,
I moved, 4 years after we legalized, in a month it'll be 4 years. And I remember the first day we legalized, I was super hungover. I'd gone to a String Cheese concert the night before. I don't know if you've ever seen String Cheese.
No.
It's a band. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
And I hadn't slept much, and there's just people pouring in and lines and outside doors. And it's crazy. It's amazing. And the same thing happened in Nevada this year. And you know, it's historical and it's great, but at the end of the day, it's not, you know, the grass isn't as green as it looks, or all that glitters is not green, is what I like to say, because at the end of the day, 280E is a tax thing that all these companies have to, you know, deal with.
Right.
There's serious legal and business hurdles. Like, you see, oh my God, these guys must be making millions of dollars. Yeah, they are, but, you know, half of that goes to the government.
Right.
And
paying their employees, so, and now they're going to have to do insurance. They're going to have so many things they're going to have to consider, just like every other business, and then they're going to get taxed more because,
right? Yeah,
know.
No, and that's the thing, and that's why I voted no. And the funny thing is,
we got a hater.
No.
He's not a hater. He loves weed.
I love weed. I've been smoking weed since I was 16,
so
17 years
no?
old. Let me tell you. Because for a selfish reason as well, I knew the prices were going to go up. I knew the government's going to come in. And I thought to myself, we already have a great medical marijuana system where all I have to do is go there, show my recommendation, get what I want the way Rachel said, go in, smell the bud, see the bud, go feel legally that even if there's a cop car outside, I can still walk out.
I was just afraid that if they saw no, that it would be interpreted that California didn't want weed at all. And
no, I don't think so.
You make a good point about medical, and Colorado has, for those that don't know, has medical and recreational.
So we still, they still.
And California is still.
They always will.
I believe California.
But they'll be regulated.
Well,
no?
let me finish. I think California is still going to have medical, but the question is, does medical become obsolete? And the answer is, if you look at Colorado, and it is becoming increasingly obsolete. Like a dispensary I consult for, we have a rec side and a medical side. The rec side probably does 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 times the amount of business the medical side. And it just comes down to people being too lazy to get their medical cards. Because by having your medical card,
you get a discount.
Probably save, you know, anywhere from 10 to 25 to 30% just on taxes alone.
Right.
But I don't have a medical card right now. And I'm a special case. I don't even buy weed. I just get gifted it. So, like, whatever. But for most people,
okay.
Most people, you know, are just too lazy to get their medical card and are you know, costing themselves money because they don't even want to go to the doctor.
Some of them don't even care.
Yeah. So, and people just don't care. So. Yeah.
And they don't want that on their
record.
So
that's what I'm saying. So it's not that I don't want it to be recreational. I mean, nobody more than me wants it. I mean, I've fucking gone to Amsterdam 2 times just to be able to smoke weed freely in a coffee shop and sit outside and have fun.
What'd you think of the weed in Amsterdam?
Well, listen, that was way back then. And besides, to me, all weed is the same today because I've smoked for so many years, I don't get the difference anymore.
Have you ever done a dab, though?
I've done dabs, but I'm not into that at all. I'll tell you why. It's when I see people do this, it looks too much like doing drugs. I mean, my son...
Yeah, but weed's a drug, no?
No, but it's like... Well, no, but it looks more like you're... You know, I mean, we're trying to normalize weed, so we put it in vaporizers and chewables and all that kind of thing. But the bottom line is that, you know... I don't know, man.
They're taking all the fun gummies away.
And it's shocking to people to see, you know, I remember the first time my dad saw someone do a dab, he was like, whoa. But at the same time, how is it different than people ripping shots at
bars? I had an ex-boyfriend threaten to break up with me.
Because you dabbed?
Why?
Because he saw my dab set up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, so there's nothing wrong with that, but let me ask you this. Isn't it hard on your lungs?
Yeah, I mean, I personally like flower and my weed inhaler plug.
Okay. So dabbing is not your preferred.
I mean, it's cool. It hurts my throat. And, like, you know, that said, it's a connoisseur thing.
I've seen people, like, it really hurts their lungs, you know? I mean, people cough like crazy, like coughs that you never hear.
Well, the argument is it helps your lungs more than weed does because rather than taking 30 hits on a joint, you're taking one hit and it's done. And if you have it at that perfect, that sweet spot, that temperature, if you wait like a minute, 15 seconds on your banger and it melts perfectly, there's almost no cough. And there's people that are at way
so
more.
So just one dab is enough?
If you do it the right way.
Really?
I do small little dabs, a little on the nail, melt it in.
Some people microdose.
See, I'm thinking about coughing now.
See?
Sorry. Microdose?
Yeah, they do a little bit, so a little goes a long way. They, you know what I mean? They don't need to be dabbed out, like, on the couch.
Right. It actually sounds like something good for me because I don't really get high anymore. For me, it's just a nice, calming feeling. But it's not like, you know, sometimes when I remember in the beginning, shit, when I was a teenager, and our weed was shit, but still, you smoke for the first time. The first year, and all that Colombian gold, and you know, it was such a high that I can never go back to.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I mean,
because your brain is not a virgin anymore. That's the bottom line. You know, I've smoked for many years. But you know what the amazing thing is that for many years I felt that I'm just an outlaw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still see a cop and stuff and I shake, you know, do I have anything in the car, you know, and this, because it's scary. It's always been scary for my generation. You know, today it's so much easier. And, you know, I mean,
I think that's what most people of color feel every day.
Yeah. I mean, I got, well, I don't know what that's like.
No, but I feel like that's like. That's how people of color live their lives.
I was in New York City 10 days ago for a wedding, and I was driving, not after the wedding. That would have been a bad idea. But I was, you know, I had been in the city and I was smoking weed and I had like a beer, and I was driving back to New Jersey where my folks live, and it's like 1 a.m. and I'm like going towards the Lincoln Tunnel, and there's a DUI checkpoint because it's like, you know, Thanksgiving week.
Right.
And I, you know, I had a beer like 5 hours ago, but I'm like, you know, I went to the Knicks game. I'm like freaking out, and like I'm like, whoa, there's weed in my car. Like my eyes might be red. Like I don't know. Like I'm freaking out. I'm like,
wow.
I don't want to get. I wasn't even worried about being drunk, but like I was just worried about like, all right, this guy's a stoner. He's flashing the light in my eyes, and like, you know, it's still scary to have weed on the
really
East Coast,
is.
Despite the fact that it's normalized, and you know, you're probably not going to jail for weed on the East Coast if you have like a couple grams. It's still scary.
That's
to
not
have
true in New York. There's still locking people up for that.
Well, right. If you're, you know, not if you're a white
Jew. That's what I'm saying. People of color. It's terrible.
Yeah. But at any rate, so do you want to talk about this thing you brought
yeah,
in?
Yeah. So I got this weed inhaler. It's called the Aero Inhaler. It's made in Colorado, Denver product, and it is pretty much the most exciting weed thing I've seen since the vaporizer 6 years ago.
Wow. So this is a new way to consume it.
It's a new way to consume. It is the future.
But let me ask you this. If they make it in Colorado, can they sell it here?
We are working. We cannot sell it here. We are working on licensing deals right now with multiple companies out here. It's a very hot product. But no, you can't transport it. You can only sell it in dispensaries in Colorado, gotcha. Which it is available at right now.
And how much does it go for?
It depends. It retails anywhere from $60 to $120. It's at the retailer's discretion. So they get it for a wholesale price. And, you know, suggested retail market price is probably $70 to $80.
Wow, so they have a margin of that much, huh? That's amazing. Now, let me ask you this. How many times can you use it?
There are 100. So the inhaler is 1,000 milligrams of THC distillate and live resin terpenes. It's a proprietary blend. It has every puff or, you know, dosage is 10 milligrams. So that equals 100 doses.
Right.
So, you know, let's say you take it 10 times a day. That's 10 days. You get a nice buzz.
Right.
It's very much not.
That's worth it.
It's very much akin to a vaporizer. I like it more because there's no smoke. It's even more discreet. You know, I literally hit the thing on planes. I hit the thing at the gym.
Anywhere.
With my parents at the dinner table. I mean, no one even notices. It's great. And it has a nice, like, I don't like, you know, I'm not like Wolfie over here. I don't like to get, like, really high during the day. I just kind of like to keep my cannabinoid system flowing with, modest amounts of cannabis. And this keeps me functioning, but not too high. If you want to work out and you're just, like, you know, a little nauseous or something, it's great, you know. It's dope.
So let me ask you this now: 10 milligram hits are very, very low, right?
Yeah. Well,
is that what it's considered a dose?
Depends on who.
It
you
depends
ask.
If it's a 10. If it's a 10 mil, it all depends on the delivery and the ingredients. I mean, if you're taking a 10 milligram edible, you could be high as, you know, a giraffe's pussy in 15 minutes.
But who can? I mean, who can? Because let me tell you this, man. I eat 1,000 milligram, but not at one time. I get the bar, the brownie. I get 7 bites out of it. Okay, so I can have a bite, and it takes me through half the day.
Right.
But it's still, you're talking about probably about 150, 200 milligrams bite.
This is more like I'd let you try it. It's a little low, but this is more. It's sublingual, so it hits you pretty quickly. Like let's say within 5 to 10 minutes, maybe even 2 minutes sometimes. Gives you kind of a little like jolt, and it's very. Like,
I do want to try that. Obviously,
Rachel
you know?
Has one that's a little less.
I like mine.
Less travel. This one's been in multiple.
Yeah, no worries. I don't have to work to try this one, but this particular one. But I'm saying in general, this is a very interesting idea, man. So, are you saying that we're gonna have it? here in California?
I would say within, hopefully within 6 months, you'd be able to purchase it in California. I'd be surprised if not.
Really?
There's some red tape, but, you know, we're working on it. We're talking to people, so we'll see what happens.
Good for you, man. I'm really happy because it's you guys that are, like, normalizing this. You're making it mainstream, you know? And it's not just people are looked at as stoners anymore. You know, I feel that at home with my parents, they're elderly and everything. But we can talk about cannabis.
Yeah, it's,
and I don't have to, like, have to feel like I'm introducing them to some drugs or something.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I have my grandfather's 96 years old.
Ah,
and,
wow.
and he's alive, which is
right.
a miracle. And he hasn't smoked weed, which is another miracle. Imagine going 96 years knowing, you know, however many years knowing weed existed and never smoked.
Right, they never had it.
He has a drink, maybe, you know, he a whole life, maybe a beer. I've never seen him drunk, you know, that kind of guy, very straight-edged. And I'm having lunch with him a couple weeks ago, and I kind of was like, why not ask him if he would smoke weed, right?
Right.
And he was like, he just shrugs, and he's like, sure, why not? You know, 96, totally has his
facilities.
Yeah, what
if I got to lose,
car.
Right?
I'm like, what's the worst that could happen? He's going to die? Like, he'll be happy, you know?
Right.
No disrespect, Grandpa, I love you, but, like, you know, he's you know, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Exactly. What can happen, you know?
But my parents are like, and I want, so now I'm like, all right, I got this weed inhaler. I'm going to be in New Jersey in 2 weeks. Like, let's do it. Let's film it. Let's get this guy high for the first time in his 96-year-old life.
Oh, wow.
But my mom is all like, no, Barry, you can't do that. Like, he's going to die if you do that.
Right. Like, what's... You know? Yeah, but let him die happy, you know?
Yeah, I'm like, let him die knowing what it's like to get high once, you know?
Exactly.
So
you're right, I should do this. I gave some to my mom, but she kind of didn't like the feeling in the morning, you know? I think she took too much. She smoked way too much. One thing I noticed about new users, they don't know how to inhale. So you have them, so you tell them, take another one, and they want another one, and another one. Then suddenly they're so fucking high.
Yeah.
And they're
that's
like,
the part
I can't
about
handle
the culture
it.
That I don't like, because it's the equivalent to like being at a bar and being like 12 shots, you
right,
know, to
right.
someone who's never drank before.
Right.
My dad looks like he's trying to like blow a balloon every time he smokes weed. His face gets all red and like tense, and he's like,
but I think it's funny. A lot of us are like having to reteach our parents' generation how to smoke weed, and it's like, dude, you guys invented smoking weed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
we,
you guys are from the generation.
I'm like,
you
Dad,
know? Like,
you got to put it in a jar, not a plastic.
Not
bag.
Only that,
you don't mix and match. You just, you know, this is that,
it was,
and they're just
crazy to me. From I think I said this last time, but maybe not. I was watching Mindhunter, and like that we allowed smoking cigarettes on planes. Like we thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, like the smoke,
you know,
would stop.
We're
but
like,
no smoking
hey,
section.
We're gonna put people thousands of feet into the air, and then we're gonna let them smoke cigarettes.
Speaking of, I'm glad you brought up cigarettes. So I used to smoke cigarettes, and I don't anymore. Much
I do, trim. But
well, whatever. I'm not. I'm not judging. You look healthy.
Yeah.
You look good. So whatever.
Yeah, not happy about it. Go ahead.
But I feel like.
But I do cough.
We're at a point in time, especially in California. Maybe not in Europe or something, or wherever cigarettes are still vogue. But we're at a point in time where you are going to be stigmatized worse for smoking a cigarette than I am for smoking weed.
That's
and
true.
And that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
When I was in college, like, you know, you were trying to sneak out. People smoke cigarettes openly. They still do. And now it's like you're better off with a vaporizer in a club than a cigarette. Because you're getting fucking kicked out with a cigarette. You're not getting
kicked
out.
Well, but you're not going to. Nobody smokes inside a club. That's for sure.
Well,
but
if you're
the
really
thing
in Vegas.
Nobody, you know.
Well, Vegas allows it, which is terrible. I mean, you walk into the casino and it stinks of cigarettes. And being a smoker, I don't smoke indoors. Haven't for decades, okay? But my point is that there's a place for smokers to be stigmatized for smoking cigarettes when I'm not near you or bothering you. It's to me is bizarre. How can you fucking tell me that I can't? It's almost like feeling like it's illegal.
Well, it's,
you know,
I mean,
if
you know,
don't want to smoke, don't smoke. Think about it. It's the same with weed too. I have neighbors that probably hate me because, well, not probably. I mean, they. I had new neighbors upstairs, and one day she's like, "Take your weed inside," you know. So, or
well, it's kind of more like alcohol because, like in Vegas, you can drink on the streets and you can smoke cigarettes inside, but like here in California, you can't drink on the streets, but there are places for people to drink.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right, right.
As a cigarette smoker, I have a company. There's a company in Colorado that I'm working with a little bit consulting, and they're called Cranford's. It's called Cranford's Cigarettes. but it's a weed cigarette. Mm. So they look like cigarettes, but instead of tobacco, it's weed.
Right.
There's one called Toast. There's a few of them.
Right.
And I have mixed feelings about it, but I want to know if, as you know, if, as someone who smokes cigarettes and might want to quit them, or just in general, do you think that you would like that?
That it would replace cigarettes?
No, I mean, just because of the way it is. Are you into that? Like, do you think?
But
that
I mean,
cool?
I roll my joints exactly that to look like a cigarette asker. I mean, I put it in a roller. I put a little filter, cigarette filter.
There you go. So he would love it.
I would love it.
So it's that you are their target demographic.
Yeah, that's what I pictured.
For me, I say to them, I am just
because
it reminds me too much. It reminds me too much of cigarettes. I'm like, I'm trying not to smoke.
Yeah,
yeah, but to me, it doesn't matter.
But everyone's different. That's the thing about weed is like you can't go after the 5% of people who are like stoners. You need to go after the 95% of the people who are maybe new to this, and that's what people really, you know, are going to benefit off.
Absolutely, you know, and that's the thing though, is that it's becoming it's more than just that culture, that weed culture. It's becoming mainstream. It's becoming a business. It's becoming an industry. And even if you don't ever touch the weed, you know, I mean, you could be making like the jars to sell to the dispensaries or something. You know, you're making the cartridges for the people that put the oil in them. You know, so you don't even have to touch the weed to be in the business of weed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? that's why I like what I do, because like I just work with people who touch weed, and at the end of the day, I'm just a dude writing about weed and, you know,
that's awesome.
And all that.
So you've built an audience for yourself. How long have you been doing? You said 6 years?
6.5 years. 6 years. I don't say I built an audience for myself. I'm not an influencer like Wolfie over here. I got a little
Ugh, I hate that term.
Yeah, influencer. Weed influencers are about to become
What does that mean?
Chic.
You know, and plus, listen, you keep going, you know. You keep going, and it's a matter of time until people discover. And sometimes it takes a long time, you know. I mean, we've been doing this for 10 years. We're big in internet radio, but it's still, there's a lot more room to grow.
I measure
know?
Myself, my success, by how many people dislike me. And
So,
quote.
You see, I don't measure by numbers of likes or followers because it's not realistic.
Yeah, because who cares about the people that like you?
Exactly.
It's about the people that are against you. Like, you know, you're not making it until you have haters, or like the biggest sign of success is that you got haters. And lately I have haters, and I'm like, fuck yeah.
Haters are just confused fans.
Yeah.
I've been told to kick sand and that I'm a nobody and all sorts. I'm just like, sweet, bro. Like, cool.
Wow.
I don't know how else to react
to it. So you learn to take it.
I mean, cool. Like, people have disliked me my whole life. I might as well embrace it. You know? Like,
come on, man. You seem like a very likable person to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And listen, you got your thousands of followers too. So for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Barry. He's editor in Keith. He's also a serial ganjapreneur. Yeah. And Barry Poppins, it is. Now,
do we have time for a game, or are you like in my inner?
We do, yeah. What kind of does it take
play,
a long time?
It does not take a long time. Okay. I want to play a game that I've been. This is my first time ever.
This is what
radio.
You were talking about, and I'm like, what is he talking about?
It's not. Right. It's an exercise. It's called Mount Cushmore. It's just a concept. We can do it with movies. We can do it with songs. We can
do it
with whatever. Do you want to do it with movies? Do you want to do it with
movies.
Munchies?
You decide.
Movies.
Okay, or
movies. I mean, what are the four best stoner movies of all time?
You know? Which ones we think about right away? Right?
Well, first of all, before we jump into this, do we have like 10 minutes?
Yeah, we do.
Well, so what
That's
defines
about all we do?
I've written a piece about the top stoners movies of all time, so I have an idea. But to me, like, what defines a stoner movie? Like, is Dazed and Confused a stoner movie, or is that a coming of age story that's about weed?
Right. So what does a weed movie mean first? We have to define it.
Yeah,
right? That's
well,
what you're asking.
Yeah, well, to me, the main character has to smoke weed.
Right.
The protagonist. And in Dazed and Confused, the main character is really about immersing himself in culture. So that's one I'm torn on. The main character has to smoke weed. Weed has to be a vehicle in the film that sets the plot in motion. If cannabis isn't setting the plot in motion in some way, then is it really a stoner film?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. Okay, so my first reaction would be obviously Up in Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the movie kind of sucks.
Okay, you're talking about the best movies.
Yeah, let me tell you this
was funny at the time because they exaggerated everything, you know? So it was like the car full of smoke and then the cops.
It's funny, but it's...
Yeah.
It's not a good movie.
Is it a great stoner movie, or is it just a shticky, funny movie? Like, ooh. To me, the obvious first one
Half-Baked?
Is Half-Baked. Yeah. I mean, that is the
Which one?
Half-Baked. Dave Chappelle, Harlan Williams.
See, I've
Williams.
Never seen it, so why I didn't comment.
It's the quintessential stoner movie, because literally the entire, I mean, even the
whole cast,
the love
like,
interest name is Mary Jane. I mean, everything revolves around weed. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, they're
I got to see that.
It is number one. For me, that is, you know, George Washington of stoner movies.
So have you written about that one?
I mean, I've written some stuff about it. Yeah, I mean, Tommy Chong's in it. He's the Squirrel Master. Shout out to the plug.
Also, any Cheech and Chong movie.
While we're on Half-Baked, and we're going to fill out Mount Cushmore, because Half-Baked has it. If you've seen Half-Baked, and if you're listening, a recent revelation is that in the movie, Mary Jane, Dave Chappelle's love interest, she is Tommy Chong, who's the Squirrel Master's daughter. There's a theory out there for you. Do you understand? Are you with me, Wolfie, since you've seen the movie?
I am here.
Do you believe in that theory?
I don't know. I mean, it could all be subliminal.
Well, her dad's in
messaging.
Jail for sending weed, and then Tommy Chong, the Squirrel Master's in jail with Kenny, and, you know, Kenny's his bitch, and just think about it.
Okay, so what else? Other movies?
Whoa, cut off. I don't know.
Well,
pick one.
I don't really know the movies.
What's the point of the game?
The point of the game is to decide on the four best stoners. My four. Okay, you want me to just go?
Yeah.
I would say The Big Lebowski is a stoner movie.
Okay.
Because he is just the quintessential stoner character.
I would say Friday.
Friday is probably, I mean, Friday could.
Or any Harold and Kumar movie.
I think, you know, we're getting somewhere. I don't know if Harold and
Kumar. I don't
Kumar
know if they were the best,
cut.
Though, but I love Friday is one of my favorite movies, and that was one of the.
Should I just take out my list? Because I have a list.
Tell me something. What about Fast Times at Richmond High?
But it wasn't about weed, and the main characters weren't constantly smoking weed, but that.
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
It's like a quasi stoner flick. It's not really like a stoner flick. It's
right.
Like,
it's just that they were
kind of like
stoned
Breakfast
in
Club.
The movie.
It's like Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Right? There's not
just,
a lot. There's
it
only.
It wasn't about
only,
weed or. I don't know, man.
I love Grandma's Boy.
To me,
old
Grandma's
school.
To me, Grandma's Boy, might.
Or not old school. Knocked Up.
Knocked Up isn't about weed.
It's not about weed, but there's so much weed. But remember, there's so many good quotes about weed in it that like allude to him smoking weed
movie,
and the main character
but it's
smokes
not,
weed.
It's not a stoner
You're right.
movie.
Grandma's Boy.
Grandma's Boy to me.
Pineapple
is.
Express.
Yeah, Pineapple Express is that your top? I don't think it's my top.
I don't think it's my top, but that's the thing is like I don't. For women, there is no equivalent. There's no female stoner
movie.
Well,
Broad City is like
it's
a show
though.
But
no, I want to be. I want to be in the female
there
equivalent
you go.
Stoner.
There you go. So
notice me, casting director.
No,
your stoner.
But listen, Rachel, what you can do is, since there's nothing like that, you can affect it and start doing something, you know, put something in motion where you are the star.
Mm-hmm. I have my ideas.
I have a couple scripts.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, because if we need female stoner movies, I don't see why not you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, so
Friday, I mean, listen, my four, you know, my top four, I'll just go. How High is a stoner movie?
Mm-hmm.
How High is Mount Cushmore to the max. Mm-hmm. You know, Method Man and Red Man, they deserve spots on there. I mean, they are stoners, and that movie is about stoners. I would put Friday on there as well. I think Half-Baked, Friday, The Big Lebowski, and How High are my four.
Mm. Okay.
I feel like it would be easier to do with music. There's so many songs about weed, I feel like.
Super Troopers. That's tough to leave out.
Songs? You mean? Oh, you're talking about songs?
Yeah.
Like just specifically weed or getting high, period?
Both.
Okay, because there was a lot of getting high songs
like Last Dance with Mary Jane, that comes to my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole Chronic 2001.
Afro Man, because I got high.
Yeah. Because I got high.
Yeah.
I know, that song is awesome, man.
Yeah, except he hits women on stage, which
oh,
is
really?
Not so
terrible.
Awesome.
Really?
Yeah, Google Afro Man. Sad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so Weed Writer, guys, you can go on Instagram and find. But you have a private account. What's the purpose of that?
Instagram has been savage lately with deleting people.
Not so much anymore. I don't know. I'm just like
cannabis accounts.
I have clients and stuff, and a lot of people. And like, if they want to see me, they can follow me. Otherwise, they can't. You know. I'll open it up.
He has a public account that he runs. That's like a culture.
Wait, so I can still follow you if your account is private?
Yeah, just hit
but
follow.
I just don't see what.
No, no, you can. You, once I accept you to follow.
Right, you need to accept me. That's what I'm saying.
The main reason I keep it private is because, like, listen, I built this page for 4 years. I don't use it that often. It's like my identity, and like it's gives me a moderate amount of clout, and people right. are like, okay, he's someone, and I don't want people. My haters, whatever, to like pick a picture and just start reporting it, and God forbid my account gets deleted, because my account's been deleted and I got it back. This is like 2 years ago. Oh, so wow. Like I don't want it to happen again.
Yeah, so you have to be careful.
You thought
it
you think it's you got deleted from people reporting you?
Yeah, 100%, that's the only way. Yeah. My posts are pretty vanilla.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, green.
But, you see, and that's the thing. My stuff is only the station related stuff, so I don't
yeah,
care.
But you
it's
don't have
public.
Anything to worry about. You're not posting yeah. illegal.
Yeah,
really
no,
illegal
I know.
Product.
That's true. Yeah, but yeah. So those are some of the challenges, huh?
Yeah.
Like on social media and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's like with Instagram, it's like okay, we get it. Like, you guys have your things, but there's like you know porn stars all over Instagram. There's scissor
child
and
pornography,
all this stuff.
Horrible like ISIS related material that just like is ISIS or Russian
how
propaganda.
How does it get through the?
Because it's like a black abyss. Like, no one knows. Like, you
it's
know,
weird
how,
because some people curate. Have their theories that there's someone up there monitoring, like, certain keywords and things like that. And then there's it's just, like, a matter. It's or it's that or it's, like, your account has gotten flagged. And it just takes a while for it to, like,
that.
Every time Instagram updates on your phone, it just, like, deletes a bunch of people. Mm. So you could have been flagged 6 months ago. But because, you know, whatever, it just hasn't caught up because there's so many people getting reported constantly.
Right, right. And you see, and it's a game like follow me, I'll follow you and all this. And I'm saying, you know,
well,
what the hell?
It used
it's
to
like,
be Instagram.
Nobody cares about your followers because most of them don't care about you, you know.
Well,
they
I
just,
don't know.
Like,
I
want to for some. No, I'm telling you, it's like, you know, other than. Okay, that's the way I feel about it.
I don't know.
It's
I
like
just,
many
I
followers,
think...
they don't necessarily follow you everywhere. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've had some guests here with virtually what? What's her name? Had millions, remember?
Yeah.
Millions of followers. And I didn't see any jump in the listenership whatsoever when she was here.
Well, did
I don't know
did
if
she
they...
Did she promote it?
I don't know. Did she?
Probably not.
Well, you know,
why
it's interesting.
Wouldn't she?
It's because it's, well, why wouldn't she promote it? I don't know.
That's, yeah, that's
it's
what
between
I'm saying.
You guys. But
no,
like,
no, that's what
well,
I'm saying.
We live in a society where content is oversaturated.
Right.
Just like the weed market in Colorado.
And it also, the thing is like Instagram has also changed. Like, it used to be different. When I first started my account, it was much easier to grow your stuff and have your content be seen because there wasn't so much regulation on the algorithm or whatever. And right. now if there's so much control. It's basically if you're not spending money on our platforms, we're going to limit how much your content gets seen.
Yeah.
And the higher your followers go up, and if you don't spend any money, then we're going to start watching your account and pressuring you. But the thing, that's where cannabis people get into trouble because it's like, we can't advertise. We can't throw money at advertising, even though we want to give you money.
Right.
Because we're going to get shut down.
Right.
So it's a catch-22. Yeah. I found memes don't seem to set people off, although my friend did get deleted. He was weed 420 memes, and I don't know why. But I also have a theory that if you have weed in your name, if you have weed in your name, then... you're a target. If you have cannabis blank, you're a target, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think Zuckerberg would, like, wake the fuck up and, like, realize that, like, there are worse things. You know, he's all about making
money. That
he's
making
better.
Money off Russia and will take their money but won't let certain cannabis
well,
brands
advertise. Well, they're censoring the shit, you know, and that's the thing. That's
but they're
what,
not censoring
line.
The right stuff.
Well,
it's like,
crazy.
Really bizarre.
Yeah, right.
I do live streams on Facebook sometimes. I have this, like, whole, like, concept. It's called See Weed, and... I get like 25,000 to 50,000 views on the live streams. They're just like me dicking around in grows, basically, in Denver. And one time I'm doing a live stream, and all of a sudden, boom, it gets like shut down because someone reported it.
Wow!
And I'm like, right. Yeah, it's just
that's terrible,
sucks,
man.
You know?
It really does. Anyway, we're totally out of time, Barry. Do you want people to follow you anywhere? Do you want people
you know,
to
check
find
out
you?
Check out Weed Writer. Check out you know, the Arrow Inhaler. And if you're in Denver, make sure you stop by the Herbal Cure or Rocky Mountain High and mention me, and you can get a discount.
Oh, wow.
That's what's up.
Sounds good, man. I'm dying to go to Denver. Are you kidding me? I'm dying to. And then Boulder, the happiest place in the world.
Boulder is
in the country, yeah. I'm going there, man. At least I need to travel there.
You got to go to Sweet Cow if you go to Boulder.
What's that?
Sweet Cow is pretty good ice cream.
Really?
Pretty phenomenal ice cream.
Is it medicated?
Wow.
It's not medicated. It's just it's good after you medicate. I would say if you go to, you want to be the happiest in the happiest place in the world, go to the 14er, really good organic weed. Get there, the Lost Tribe. It's a Jamaican land race crossed with Kosher Kush, one of the best strains in Colorado. Go to Sweet Cow and get a milkshake. Walk down Pearl Street, give a hippie playing the guitar dollar, and have a great time.
Wow. I'm gonna replay this show and remember exactly what you said and follow
amazing.
That. Barry, thank you so much for joining us. You're amazing.
Thank you. I hope
good
to
luck
come
back. To you, of course. Wolfie, Rachel.
Whoever I am.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.